Appreciate Jeff leading us in that song about being a friend of Jesus, and we will discuss friendship this evening. I do want to mention that Ivan is doing better, Tasha's baby, and she was able to hold him today, so she is doing better. And so we're thankful for their progress in that regard. Also want to mention, failed to mention the bulletin this morning, but if you are planning on attending the Hillcrest meeting this week, they are having a meal at 5:45 each night. So make that part of your plans if you plan on going, and they would appreciate that as well. But wanted to mention that. Let's bow together before we have our lesson. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight that we have a warm place to meet on a cool evening. We've been so blessed in this life by so many conveniences and things that make our lives easy. And at times it's easy for us to take these things for granted and to forget how blessed we are. But we turn on the television, we turn on the computer, and we see people around the world who are fearful for their lives, who are being threatened by terrorism, those who do not know where their next meal will come from, those who are without shelter, and living lives of deep distress every day. And we think about those people, we pray for their safety and that someone will take care of them in their place, and we pray that relief can come their way. But we also know that whatever we face in this life is what we face, and that our trials are not minimized by what others may be going through. So we pray that you bless each family and each person that is experiencing trials this evening. We know that we often don't have the answers or don't know which way to go, but we know that if we trust you, that you'll lead us in paths of righteousness. Continue to bless those who are hurting, be with Tasha, be with Ivan, be with Ms. Farmer, Ms. Walker. Continue to be with those in Cadiz, Kentucky that know the Champion family, and we pray that they can be strengthened tonight. We know there are many who are hurting, and we pray that you lift them up. Bless our study this evening. May all that we do be to your glory and according to your will. We're thankful most of all for Jesus and the tremendous sacrifice he made so that we could live eternally in heaven. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, a preaching friend of mine got a phone call one night at his house concerning his son, and it was from the college, the Christian school where his son had attended, said that your son has, we found drugs in your son's room, we found a lot of drugs, we found scales, and your son is being kicked out of the school. So that was very shocking news to him, of course, and his wife and his family, and he's a preacher, and it was something, of course, that he would have to tell the congregation about. Obviously, that was going to be very public very soon, and so he knew he would have to face that. And long story short, the son is doing very well now, and they had to go through, of course, a very difficult time related to that. But in the midst of that, this friend of mine would have people come up to him and say, "Well, I feel so sorry about what happened to your son. I guess he got mixed up with the wrong crowd." And he said another person would come up and say something a lot like that. "Well, he's, you know, been running around with the wrong people." And he said, "I heard that a lot." And he said, "I know what they meant." But he said, "The more I thought about it," he said, it's not who he's running around with. He said, "My son is the wrong people." He said, "It's not them." He knew what he was doing. He wasn't misled in any way. He did it with his eyes open. He said, "I could have thought the same thing. It's the friend, somebody else." You say that, you're giving sympathy to somebody and you're putting the blame on somebody else. "Well, I just got caught up with the wrong people." He said, "No, my son was the wrong people." He knew what he was doing. And at the very least, if he were around people that condoned that, encouraged him to do it, then he's wrong for picking those people to be his friend. At the very least, he has a problem deciding who his friends need to be. We've seen similar situations and heard that statement from when celebrities get in trouble and athletes get in trouble, and he was hanging out with the wrong crowd. We choose our friends. We choose the things we do in life, but we also choose the people around us who are either going to help us do what's right or they're going to lead us to do what's wrong. But we make those decisions. Friends are not forced on us. No one assigns you friends. When you were born, the doctor didn't come over the list and say, well, these are the friends that you're going to have for the rest of your life, and there's nothing you can do about it. We choose them, and it tends to happen very naturally. A few weeks ago, I was at a dinner, a good pastor, one of the speakers, this man that's running for mayor of Nashville, who graduated from good pastor, and he said, in first grade, I met three of the closest friends I ever had the rest of my life. In second grade, I met the fourth closest friend I've ever had. He said, we still talk to each other to this day. He's about 40 years old. He said, we still talk regularly. We live all over the country, but we're all in the same place. We get together. It's just like old times. So we have those impacts. We have that influence from friends and that can last the rest of our lives. So who you choose as your friends, of course, has a great impact on what you're going to believe to be right or what you're going to believe to be wrong, and the advice you receive, and so on and so forth. When you look in the book of Proverbs, if you've noticed as you read Proverbs, that tells us a lot about friendship. It talks a lot about friends. It talks a lot about counsel and receiving advice and giving advice and so on and so forth. So tonight I want us to look at what Proverbs says about friends, about being good friends, and about the type of people you should not include as your friends. And then at the end of the lesson, we'll see that really the opposite. If you do the opposite of these things, you're going to be friendless. You're not going to have any friends. We'll begin by seeing in the book of Proverbs that a good and faithful friend is one that is constant. Let's think about that word constant. What Proverbs says about good friends. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 14, verse 20, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Solomon, wise Solomon said, you know, a rich person is going to have friends here and friends there. We call them fair weather friends when times are good. And he said, hey, they're going to have friends all over the place, but the poor man, he might have trouble finding some friends because he can't give them very much. There's not much for the people around him to have. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Fair weather friends, the ones on sort of the outside edges of your life, are the people that you can hang out with on the weekend, the people that you can go to a game with, you can go fishing with, you can talk to on the phone from time to time, you see somewhere, and they're good to have, good for a laugh, good for jokes and things, but the constant friend, the friend that's dependable, the friend that's reliable, is the friend that you call at 3 o'clock in the morning when you need help changing a tire, or when some other thing has happened in your life. That's a short list, isn't it? The constant friend is the one that's going to be there in sickness and in health. In many times, till death do you part. You may be separated by geography. There may be some other reason that there's some distance, but you know that no matter how much time goes by and how far away the person is, that they're going to be there when you need them. That's why it's good when I hear people say that they married their best friend. The Bible says that type of person is somebody, you're saying that type of person is going to be there throughout your life, that they're the trusted, constant friend. It's very comforting to have constant friends. It's very reassuring that you can depend on someone that way. But Proverbs also talks about good friends as being ones that have candor, C-A-N-D-O-R. Candor means open and honest and sincere. Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. That's, we would call that today, yes men. A friend that comes around and agrees with everything, that pumps you up, says you're the greatest thing. I wish I had what you had. You've really got it made in life, and I wish I were more like you. My family was like your family. Wish I had the house you have. And you hear these things from this person who's always agrees, always condones, always puts a stamp of approval on every thought that you have. And when that happens, you think, okay, where's the catch? What are they looking for? This seems to be a little bit overboard. The book of Proverbs says there's a catch, and they put it this way, Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. I'm flattering you, so I'm going to spread out this way to catch you. I'm doing all this to bring you in. I'm doing all this to get something from you. So I'm going to flatter and flatter and compliment and compliment and compliment to the point where you think, wait a minute, what's going on here? That's not a real friend. A real friend is open and honest and has candor. A real friend is somebody that says, because I know you, because I love you, I need to tell you this is something maybe is wrong in your life. There's also somebody that says, hey, this is something that's wrong in my life, and I trust you with this information. That they're open. They're trusting. They're honest. It's not about flattery. It's just simply about two people that can, they're not afraid to talk to each other and be very plain spoken. Proverbs 28:23. Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. It says, when I get a rebuke, when I'm corrected in something later on, I'm going to admire that person. But I'm not going to think much of the person who just simply flatters and compliments to the point of where you feel trapped. We have to also here, when talking about candor, make one point and a key element of this is that we shouldn't use candor as an excuse to be mean. How many times have you heard somebody finish a statement, or maybe you finished a statement with, well, I'm just being honest, as if that excused all of the mean things and the discouraging things and the put-downs that you just said. But it's all okay because, hey, I'm just being honest. Well, you're also just being mean, and you're also just being discouraging, and you may be better not to say anything at all if that's the path you chose to take. Candor and honesty is not an excuse to be mean and discouraging. Some use it that way. Proverbs says that a good friend is constant, and a good friend has candor, is open and honest. A genuine friend is also one who gives counsel. One who gives counsel. Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We learn a lot from each other. I do something, and I have a friend who does something else, even though we may disagree at times. We learn from each other. We sharpen one another. We cause each other to think. Now, I can see from your perspective now, because you were honest with me, you told me how you thought, and now, okay, now I understand. Now, I didn't think of it like that, but since you gave me a little bit of advice and counsel, maybe I can look at it differently too. Maybe I wasn't right in how I viewed that situation. Proverbs 27, verse 9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Somebody who cares, somebody's going to discuss things with you about your life. There are three common characteristics of good counselors very quickly. Good counselors are good listeners. They don't just constantly talk and talk and talk. A good counselor is somebody that says, I want to hear you first. I want to hear everything you have to say. I'm going to let you finish whatever you need to say before I give you counsel. Good counselors also don't impose in your life. You appreciate a good counselor, but you probably don't appreciate somebody who on a daily basis or a weekly basis is constantly telling you things you need to change. That gets old. An adult should be allowed to make adult decisions and take care of themselves and not constantly be told that they need to do something else. We have the right to be wrong. We have the right to make mistakes. And sometimes letting somebody do that is the best counsel you can give. Good counselors also know, again, when to stop counseling. They're good listeners. They don't impose. They know when to stop. So good friends are constant. Good friends have candor. Good friends are good counselors. Proverbs also says that good friends are also has consideration. Think of the word consideration. Counsel is what he gives. Consideration is knowing how and when to give it. Counsel is the thing, but consideration is the how and the when. Someone has consideration, he or she thinks before he talks. He says, you know, maybe today's not the time to say this. Maybe today's not the time to give this. Maybe today's not the time for this conversation. A good friend says, I love this person, and so I'm going to think about what they prefer now. I think we've talked before about when we go to somebody and we can tell they're not doing well, they're having a bad day, something's not right, and you go up and say, what's wrong? Now, you mean well by that, and I know you want a genuine answer, and it's a sincere question. But you never stop to think that when you ask that question, it may not be the time that person wants to talk about it. But when you ask the question, it's almost like you made the appointment to have the conversation. So sometimes you need to think that through and think, you know, maybe not today's not the best time to ask what's wrong. Maybe I need to wait till another time. Maybe I need to say something like, hey, if you need to talk about anything, let me know. And maybe never asking is the best way to go. Maybe just letting things work themselves out is the best method. We just have to use good judgment. There's no perfect way to do it. There's no right or wrong. But it's good to think things through, to have consideration for the person you're talking to, for yourself, for everybody involved. So you put all these things together and you say, what's Proverbs ultimately saying about good friends? What's the thesis? What's the main lesson when you put all this together? When somebody is constant in their friendship, they have candor, they give good counsel, they're considerate. What it basically means, and I know that you know this from the good friends that you have, it means that real friends add to your life and false friends subtract from your life. Good friends add to your life, false friends subtract from your life. Think about it. When you have a friend who is constantly nagging you for things, wanting something, what are they're subtracting from your life. That friend is a burden. When somebody is giving too much counsel and they're inconsiderate, what are they doing? They're subtracting from your life. They're adding burdens. They're taking away your time. They're taking your emotional energy. It's not a good friend. True friend adds. See, a true friend is the one that's trusting, that's constant, that's good. That adds to your life. Gives you someone else to lean on. Good friend is open and honest. You know you're going to get a straight answer. That adds to your life. You know you're going to get good counsel. Obviously, that helps you make better decisions. Somebody that's considerate, you know that they're never going to try to put any burden on you, any extra burden, that they're respectful of your time and your energy, Good friends always add. They never subtract from your life. Proverbs 18:24 is an interesting verse. I've mentioned it earlier. It's a strange verse in the Bible because the first part of the verse in some translations is completely different than other translations. And if I were a Hebrew scholar, I would explain to you why that is. And if we ever have one that's here, we'll ask him to do that. But not tonight, because I can't do it. The King James Version of Proverbs 18:24, the first part says, a man with friends must first prove himself friendly. Another version of Proverbs 18:24, the first part is, a man of many companions may come to ruin. Same verse. First part is completely different. Now, I only mention that because I like the King James there, because it's so true. I don't know why there's a discrepancy. I just know that the first part of the King James Version is something that you've seen your whole life. That a person with friends must first prove himself to be friendly. If you are not a friendly person, you will not have friends. Period. It's hard to attract friends if you are not a friendly person. You see, if you don't want friends in your life, then you reject someone who's a constant friend. See, if you don't want friends, you be that person that just bounces around this person and this person. I'll be a friend to this person today, but then I'll abandon them and rush over here to this person, and then I'll abandon them and go to somebody else. You do that, you're not going to have any friends. If you don't have candor with somebody, if you're not open and honest, if the words you say to your friends, there's always a hidden meaning, and it's always manipulation, and you're trying to say something hoping that they think something else, you're not going to have any friends. People are going to figure that out, and they'll just say you're dishonest, and you're trying to manipulate a situation. If you don't want any friends, then just reject counsel. Just say, I know everything. I can't be taught. Anything that comes up in life, I've got all the answers. If that's how you feel, that's a good way not to have any friends. Because no one will want to talk to you. No one will want to say, be helpful at all. You'll push everyone away. And if you don't want any friends, then you reject, you be inconsiderate to others. You think that your time is the most important. You think that whatever you say is right to them and they should listen to everything you say and do everything that you say. If you do that, then I'm sure that you won't have any friends. I knew a man once that told me, he said that he thought it was silly for people after their high school and college years to still have friends. He said, my family, all the friends I need. And he said he saw that as just kind of being immature to meet friends, to go to dinner, to do things together. He said it's just kind of, I did that when I was a kid. I've got all, my family is all the friends I need. Well, guess what? That's all the friends he had. It worked. He didn't have any other friends. I knew him. I'm telling you. Nobody had anything to do with him. His family loved him. His family thought the world of him. I liked him. But people were not drawn to him. Why? Because he had that in his mind. And so when you have that in your mind, you are not a friendly person. And the King James in Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must first prove himself to be friendly. We sang earlier, what a friendly... Well, no, it was a different song that we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. There are other songs of that nature. We sung this evening about the Lord being our friend. And we see all of this. We see, like we said this morning, what a friend, the picture of the puzzle of our lives, the jigsaw puzzle, looking at the face of Jesus. It applies in this situation as well. Jesus fits all of these criteria when it comes to friendship. And that doesn't lower the status of Jesus to say he's our friend. Some may think it lowers him a little bit, that it minimizes his role as our Lord and Savior. Not at all. He fits these characteristics. He is the ultimate friend. He has our best interests at heart because we know how he lived his life. We know what he did for us. We know what he sacrificed for us. And we know that being faithful to him, returning that to him, is what will have a lot to do with the condition of our soul at judgment. Faith is the most important thing that we have. Faithfulness is at its heart about being constant in our love for the Lord. Romans 8 says the Lord is always faithful to us. He always loves us no matter what happens to us in our lives. Question tonight is, will you be constantly faithful to him? Are you willing to give your life to Christ? For some, that may be starting tonight by becoming a Christian, by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. For others, that may be a renewed commitment, saying, I've strayed from my faith. I don't trust the Lord the way I used to. I'm doing things on my own. I don't read and use the Bible as my guide. I need prayers of faithful people to strengthen my faith. If that's what you're thinking this evening, if your faith is weak, then we'll pray with you, try to encourage you in any way that we can. Whatever your need is tonight, please come while we stand and sing together.